Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go for round two of these whiskey sticks from my father. He sent me another one because I told him the first one was so good. I swear this one was a little bit bigger, but I can't remember the other size. So the listener that brought up in a comment on YouTube this amazing thing about Egypt that changes the entire game. It absolutely wipes out any doubt that these individuals were initially Egyptian, for sure, in my opinion. And that's not important to me that these people didn't build this place. It just happens to be the unfortunate truth for their history. Now, I think that they did eventually participate and build up some of the last things that occurred there, but in terms of most of the jaw-dropping stuff, I'm not sure. But I did Instant Earth episode, right? And I prefaced that episode on the notion that incredible pre-dynastic construction occurred prior to any visible writing, which usually leads to someone saying culture. Now, I'm sure whoever built this pre-dynastic stuff had their own culture. But in terms of recording it in written language, not the case. All the pre-dynastic stuff is without writing. Some of the facilities have had paint put on the wall, and like it's like a stucco-y kind of stuff on the wall. Not really stucco, but like a plaster on the wall, and that they actually transcribed on the plaster. One, because the mixture that they made was very bright, thus giving a lot of contrast for whatever they put on the wall. It's because you can't go up to a stone wall and just start putting black writing. When you got 50% gray behind it, you're not going to see it that well. So just like we buy canvases that are white and not canvases that are gray, that's why. But this one little factoid has utterly blown my mind, and I brought it up to two or three people who I know digest this kind of content online in my own private circle. And man, just watching their eyes drift into nowhere. And, you know, in one case, one person just tries to change the subject in the conversation, not realizing that that's what they're doing to deal with it. It's so strange how cognitive dissonance is such a defense mechanism to deal with life. But here's the mind blower, right? I will have said this in a previous episode that probably will air before this one. Maybe I'll switch it up. Now, in my home, as a result of being in Egyptology, as a, you know, any one of us searching on things and buying things, I was living in the San Francisco area, and I ended up buying every single book I could find on the subject. And in my books are hieroglyph after hieroglyph after hieroglyph that are translated into English. And you find all kinds of things in those hieroglyphs that you didn't know were written long enough ago to be in a different part of the world. Like the prodigal son story is a hieroglyph. Not a lot of people know that. I didn't know that. But now, there is one thing that I have never found mentioned. And you may have something. I don't have any of it. I studied Arabic so that I could attempt to translate hieroglyphs. Still, I mean, that's how many hieroglyphs I've looked at to do this. Now, I can't translate them fluently or anything, but I can get pretty good at, you know, meticulously translating the consonants and go looking up things. But at no point in any of the hieroglyphs is a mention of a pyramid. Not its construction, not its existence. There is, or are, these, it's strange because people will have documentaries and they will show, there's only one image that I know that calls out to something like this. A pyramid is in this relief. I'm not sure if it's Babylonian or Egyptian. A lot of it has to do with the Anunnaki stuff. But there is one hieroglyph that's actually pretty hard to find. Unless I guess you know its name. But there's a seemingly a leader on a throne, and they are looking at the pyramid. A pyramid, and there's a beam coming through that cobra, the serpent, into the third eye and bouncing off the pyramid and going up. But I see this stuff in videos and then go and look for it so I can put it in videos for you guys. And that is one that has been extremely difficult to find. You can use every word that you can think of to find that hieroglyph. That's the one. What about all the other things? All the other writings? The amazing feat of creating this in the first place? Now, even if we say, okay, like Instant Earth, this stuff is built by a generation of humans that perhaps have a different Earth to deal with. The interesting thing about Earth and expanding Earth, although this is going to hurt your brain because you've been told how old man is on this planet, and you've been told how many billions of years old the Earth is, which seems to be getting older and older and older, because one of my closest friends who's a geologist, I have a book in my house that I think is called 4 Billion Years, and I think now we're at 5.3 billion years, and just they keep making Earth older and older and older. You know, why try to answer questions that we have no hope of answering? That's my big question back to them. It would make sense that the basalt boxes, those 100-ton boxes that I keep mentioning to you guys in different episodes, that you would know that those exist and not necessarily embed them in any story. One, they're hidden. They're in tunnels and what have you. So maybe they're secret in the first place and you wouldn't want to call anything out. But a bunch of pyramids. The other thing that I discovered was that in all of the official Egyptology stuff I have, and some of the books I have are reprints from the early 20th century and the late 19th century, so the 1800s and the 1990s, or 1900s, right? Books from about 1920, going back to about 1880, somewhere in there. They're just reprints. You can just look in the front of the book and they'll tell you exactly the first time it's been printed. The intro in some cases has been inserted, a preface, or I should say a foreword, to explain where this book came from, that kind of thing. But the Pyramids of Giza is your kind of grade school version of the story that you learn about. There's three pyramids in Egypt, and that's it, boys and girls. It's like Goldilocks, man, right? There's Big Daddy one, and then the middle one, and then the little one. And then you get some books, and you realize that there are bent pyramids and other gigantic pseudo-mountains that are actually pyramids. The individual rocks and stones, I should say, that you can see were quarried, carved, and put in place. You find out... initially, they tell you that the bent pyramid, there's only a couple of them. There are mistakes before they figured out the true method of building the great pyramids. And then you find out there's about 125 bent pyramids in various states of condition. There's pyramids that are so eroded that we don't know what their final form actually was. We can only assume. There are pyramids that appear to have exploded. I just watched a documentary, a video of a kid that went to the Giza Plateau and started filming the ground and started noticing what he called, I'm not convinced just yet, but he said molten limestone. And it was in the seams of the limestone that ran away from the Great Pyramids. It does look like the stone has been liquefied. Well, the theory that I put forth, that Brian Forrester has a totally different mechanism for making this happen, but we're actually speaking the same language when it comes to the final product of what happened. He read a book on a plasma charge that comes from the center of the galaxy and flies our direction and just hurts statues in Egypt, right? That's a bunch of malarkey. But the fact that if you study Tesla and the Wardenclyffe Tower and the siphoning of plasma energy from the core of the Earth out, You get, if you build 1,000 pyramids all over Africa, and you're siphoning this stuff out, and you put too many of them close together, or you just simply build too many of them, you could siphon out a pretty bad light show. And you're going to have some pyramids be the epicenter of the siphon overcharging. Could be the method in which the pyramid was built. And you're going to get a pyramid to explode. You're going to get white plasma energy just barfing out of the ground. You're going to have statues knocked over and fried. This could have also happened in South America, where they have a few structures that are similar, although I don't know about the electrical properties of the ones in South America. I just don't know. Maybe they're exactly the same. But in one fell swoop, these pyramids are deemed evil because they overbuilt them. How do you disable a pyramid for being an electrical outlet to the center of the earth? You take all the veneer stone off until it's no longer non-conductive, protecting, conductive, right? Non-conductive outer limestone, protecting, conductive internal limestone, which is also laced with red granite, which is a very conductive, what geologists apparently call a liquid rock. The pyramids not being in ample supply inside hieroglyphs is a mind blower of pretty much epic proportions, man. It would almost suggest that the instant earth theory, which, to clarify for those of you who haven't gone off and watched that show, that this is a container of some sort that we are in, with the illusion of cosmology, and through different phases, societies are allowed to exist, and then they get wiped out, resetting it back to an instant earth situation. It just dawned on me. Imagine you're the president of the country, a country, any country, but a first world country or a super overpopulated third world country. And somehow you learn that this is about to occur on your watch, that they're about to reset the world. And therefore, all of the things that you were refusing to do with your life for all kinds of reasons, money reasons, immoral reasons, or whatever, you just throw the cuffs off and you go, hey man, I'm doing everything I want because this place is about to end. Because we met the dome owners and they're like, maybe they don't believe in a god or something, right? Who knows? So do whatever you want. How do we chronologically set up a world that has three distinct areas of construction? Subterranean tunnels that are utterly mind-blowing. The arch was created in Egypt, not in Rome. In fact, the arches that protect this beautiful box that Uncharted X just did a video on about 6 months ago, it is the most precise box ever created by human hands that we've ever found. It is utterly stunning. It's purposely slanted 4 inches from one side to the other, so it's got a slope to it. I'm going to show you pictures of it. As you walk into the chamber to get to this box, there's an arch that's mind-blowing, beautiful, big-ass stones, and it's a interesting offset stone methodology of creating an arch, which in my layman's understanding of arches built in Rome, I don't know that I've ever seen this technique used anywhere in the sort of ancient world. I think I've seen it in more modern construction. But it's so tough to put together an arch that there are fail videos out there where people are putting together an arch for a bridge or a sewer system or some underground thing, and they fall. That's how difficult. And they already have custom machines that are there to prop up arches, and these Egyptians just knock it out of the park. The other thing that's interesting is I started studying just with my eyes as I watch any type of archaeology video, the average head room between the people walking in to get to these exotic locations inside pyramids or chambers, and it does look as if either the Egyptians were very, or I should say, whoever built this place was very practical and built it just to the average height of a man, and therefore it's very close to their heads, or they built them at that height with actual clearance for their heads because they were smaller people. And man, making these people any smaller than us, been looking at the construction techniques, it's freaky. This box, this amazing box, doesn't appear to be capable. It's all one piece of stone. It doesn't appear that there's a method of getting the box into the chamber that they built for it using the hallways that people have discovered. So it looks like they put this box there and then built the pyramid on top of it, which is massive. It looks like a little mountain until you get up close to it. And you're like, oh my God, those are stones. So regardless of how you think the pyramids were built, the more that you liken that era towards the dynastic era, where you've got all these pharaohs documented, this should be the talk of the town. This is what we do. We build pyramids. We build hundreds of pyramids. It should be in all of their literature. Why go to such lengths to build something gigantic that is a world wonder in 2021 and not document why you're building the thing in the first place? And my gosh, if you were to build it to create power, which is what we conclusively think it is in my circles, due to its electrical properties and its absolute correlation with the Wardenclyffe Towers. And the dude from Coral Castle said, when asked, how did you build this place by yourself? He said, I figured out how they built the pyramids. So we've got an era where tunnels, arches, amazing locations are built into the ground. We know for a fact that the catacombs below the Giza Plateau and around that general area go down, it seems like about 1,600 feet, which is approaching, you know, a quarter of a mile in the ground. I mean, is your mind not automatically blown by that? And when you look at the catacombs in these places, the stone work that actually cuts a hole in the ground so you can go down in there, there are locations where it does, you can definitely see the tool work. The way I'm looking at it now, because the majority of those stones are actually so freaking precise, it makes Machu Picchu lay down and take a nap. I think some of these more man-made looking tunnels were simply the later generations trying to dig down to these chambers. And like any means possible, get it done. But in all cases, this stone is an 8-level stone of hardness from a 1 to 10. I don't know what 1 is. Maybe sandstone is a 1. But a 10 is required to cut an 8. You can't effectively cut an 8 with a 9. You can, but it would your material and your tools that you're trying to cut the 8 with would shatter very quickly, as I'm told. Well, where does 10 start? 10 starts at diamonds. And then you have to mount the diamonds in some precise way to something. And then that has to be spun. It has to be a tremendous amount of pressure put on those drill bits in order to cause any effect, a borehole, a circular saw. So I've spent close to a week trying to have this conversation. I've been having this conversation with people for hours. I've probably spent now about 5 hours having conversations about this idea. I went back through my books and just thumbing through hieroglyphs, got online, looked around. I do have a tiny concern, although it's very small, that people are forging hieroglyphs using Photoshop, either cutting and pasting together shapes from other hieroglyphs that are legitimate to create something for us to see. The famous arch in one of the temples or one of the homes or whatever, which apparently looks like an Apache helicopter, the explanation for that, I just need to repeat, makes complete sense, which is, it looks to me like a leg bone, or a leg, not a leg bone, but a leg from the knee down is a very common hieroglyph, and I forgot what it means. It's a connection of sounds. And someone then carved on top of that giving it sort of the body of the vehicle, which is another pretty low-hanging fruit thing. So when you see the picture where they show you the overlapping hieroglyphs, I just need you to know I've been looking at those shapes for 25 years, and it does make complete sense. So the idea that they would have Apache helicopters, of all things, negates finding something legitimate out there that's totally different than any of this other stuff. So it's a logic problem. This is a logic problem. Even with our instant Earth or reset Earth or mud flooding Earth theories, which are all different ways of saying the same thing, how do you stack up chronologically a dynastic period that's writing all this stuff out, but doesn't mention the pyramids and the writing on the side of the basalt boxes, which apparently is local graffiti by some pharaoh or something trying to claim these boxes as their own creation, because the hieroglyphs on the box are extremely remedial, can't draw a straight line on a box that is mitered perfectly. It begs two different eras to be considered. I think these objects have been found by modern Egyptian Egyptologists, especially that nutcase that's, I think, now gone. God rest his soul. I don't know if he's even alive. He's the guy that loved TV. But they find those boxes and they mark them up. But I need to find out when those boxes were initially discovered, because I'm pretty sure they'd be probably discovered in the 1940s at the latest. Where do we place it? Let's put three things in our head. There's the, I think, obvious pre-dynastic history, which is tons of amazing structures, no writing on the walls, nothing appears to be a tomb, big giant black boxes, which are extremely oversized to be a tomb, but then there's nothing on the boxes that says that it's the tomb of a person, which we know, having found other antiquities inside, apparently, you know, Valley of the Kings and Valley of the Queens, they went all out when someone died, especially their pharaoh. Then we have the dynastic era, which is everything that we've ever been taught. That's what you're allowed to know. Although I think Anunnakin was inserted into the situation. And then you have these pyramids. Now, if you listen to the official history of all this stuff, it was all built between about, you get your first mastabas about 3200 BC, and then about, what is it, 2800 to 2400 BC, you get all these pyramids. And then they get attacked by a bunch of neighboring cultures and they disappear. But they're still there. The initial busts that go back to this pre-dynastic era most definitely look like African genetics. They have the flatter nose. They have the bigger lips. They have very lush African skulls. Whereas when you get to Nefertiti's bust, you have a very Egyptian-looking sort of, I don't know what you got. I don't mean to say this to offend anybody, but sort of what the European Caucasian build, a narrower nose, more narrow lips, and they look like modern Egyptian people. Now, we have to also look at some of this and say that there are factions in the world that definitely want to make sure that we get it all wrong, because they want different winners and different losers. We know that a tremendous amount of history has been erased in part. Giant skeletons found here in North America have been seized, taken to the Smithsonian, and lost / stolen to erase that part of history from us. I just found out that there's a dwarf pygmy race that has been noted all over this planet. Incredible stories about them fighting wars with birds and all kinds of stuff, especially storks. And they were from 18 inches tall to 3 feet tall. In the United States, we have found at least 250,000 of their graves and their bodies, again, harvested by some agency, sent to England, and then stolen to make sure that that part of history can't get understood. We are the only things that have been here. In some cases, I think it would be a religious institution who ripped off the virgin birth story from previous generations and then made it an imperative to go around and find other virgin birth stories like Isis and Horus, Queen Semiramis and Nimrod having Thammuz, Cuchulainn got brutalized, and they want to erase it, or they want you to think that that's folklore and theirs is true. That's what I think is so funny. Everyone else's religious stories, no matter how detailed they are, they're all ridiculous cartoons, and yours is true. Have fun meeting God, okay? Just have fun with that one. It negates a tremendous amount of who we are as human beings on this planet. It further abstracts you away from ever finding out where we actually came from because you can't address the puzzle pieces. Because you've got a paradigm locking down your brain and saying, no, 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 keep giving your stipend to the Pope. It's time to be free. It's time to take what is true from those stories, and they're divine. They don't have to be true to be divine. The irony is that a character who spoke in parables is a parable himself. There's nothing wrong with that. You can be a superior human being to others if that's your game. It's, you know, we all want to be superior, I mean, in terms of our very best version of ourself. Be superior to yourself, you know. So it was documented that when the Romans took over Egypt, and thank God we had the Ptolemy family, which is Cleopatra's family. They were Roman as well, and they said, look, hey, don't tear this place apart. You already have done way more damage than you should have. Trying to erase history. Christians went down there and defaced hieroglyphs, defaced history. And then it was blamed on Pharaoh, re-engineering of history, meaning one pharaoh tries to erase another pharaoh's existence. And I will tell you that's a bold-faced lie. Why is that a bold-faced lie? For several reasons, but here's your easiest one. What is a hieroglyph? Well, it's either paint on a wall, it's various colors on white plaster, which could easily be burned off, wiped off, you could make it water-soluble, make it come off, replaster. You could replaster on the old one and then write a brand new story on it, and that's how you could erase it. And there would not be a massacred wall where someone has just thrown black paint on the wall because they're trying to get rid of something that was written. So that I've never seen. I've never seen anyone play with the plaster walls. If you have, let me know. But the stone relief, either it being a relief into the rock or embossment out of the rock, would be extremely simple for these stone masters, okay, to shave down that wall and re-relief it, re-emboss it, and no one would know that the previous dude existed. That's how easy that would be. What makes sense to me is when you see these massacred stone hieroglyphs that have just been brutally chipped, that's an ignorant Christian going down there, white man who has no idea how any of this stuff was put together, and just saying, get rid of that. That looks like, they don't even know how to read it at this point, right? But that looks like it might be interfering with our story, so get rid of it. Ching, 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 ching. Okay, I'm done, boss. What do I do now? Get that one over there. And these would be not necessarily the citizens of Christianity. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to point a finger at any one of us. It's just the agents of the Jesuits or the agents of the Catholic Church. This was a giant trillion-dollar business for them to create this religion, transfer the Senate into saints, which is what happened. There's 44 popes in the first phase of the Catholic Church. As each one of them died, they all became saints with these fake stories behind who they were to make them holier than thou. Literally, of course, ascending to stand before God in a special, I mean, wow, unbelievable, right? Apparently you weren't made equal. Doesn't mean they were all bad people or anything, but that's how it went down. So we have to keep in the back of our head at all times, there are historical revisers. They've been here forever. We see it happening in real time today. Case in point, I had three friends on the Capitol steps on the 6th of January. All three of them said, look, man, it was very, very peaceful. But when I went home and watched it on TV, it was insane. It looked like a war zone. But it was very peaceful. Yeah, a couple of people climbed up for a little while. They said that was only during the approach. And after everyone got there, everyone calmed down. Besides beating up Antifa people trying to put pipe bombs everywhere. So it's happening real time now. This is an old game, man. Let's go back to our question. Pre-dynastic construction that is mind-blowing. Some of it we can do today, and some of it we can't do today. But we have always put, in the last year on this show, we've always put the pyramids in the pre-dynastic time frame. We put the Sphinx in the pre-dynastic era because of Graham Hancock's incredible research with a bunch of other people coming to the same conclusion. He probably bit his conclusion off other people's conclusion, and there's nothing wrong with that. That the last time the constellation Orion would have been in direct sight of the Sphinx would have been 3500 BC. These pyramids are not mortared rocks like the normal brick wall that you see that's a part of any structure in your town, right? These things are laid in place on top of each other. There's theories about the rocks being poured into place, which is absurd. And, you know, it's funny because I see channels that I really respect and they will go after these theories and just to make them clickbait, will start to tell you that there's validity in theories that there's no validity in. But what they do is they put their fingers in their ears when they actually talk to people who know what this is all about, and they go off and talk to some official science conspiracy theorist, you would say, and just construct something to milk you. And that's why their videos are so short, because they can get in and out real quick. Short videos is it in short segments is the way that the press has been gagging us forever. Bringing people on news shows and having 6-minute conversations about something like 9/11, and the host talks for 4 minutes. The guest who can prove that there's some fishiness going on gets to talk for 2. The second that the guest gets to something that is against the narrative, the host jumps in and attacks them and then says, hey, I'm glad you're on the show. See you later. Boom. And then, I'm sorry, we're out of time. It's a technique. Twitter started with 140 characters, right? You don't think that was a scientific technique of shortening your attention span? Think again. Would have went to 280 after that or something like that. The feature was already in Facebook. The feature was already in, I think, MySpace. Leave in a comment. It's called a forum, man. Except it's the short attention span forum. How do we place this on a piece of paper? Historically, we got a timeline where these incredible structures exist. And here comes this big articulated phonetic symbology called hieroglyphs, ancient Arabic writing, and it misses the boat. Well, the easy way to put this on paper, but it doesn't make any sense, is that those dynastic era people went first. The writing went first. And then all this other stuff happened second. And when I say all this other stuff, we're talking about a ton of stuff. A ton of stuff would have had to gone after. But like the basalt boxes having sort of a short bus writing on it, it begs the opposite thing. Hey, man, if you had a phonetic language and you had a method of writing and you're able to create a basalt box that's absolutely the most mind-blowingly perfect structure, and there's a bunch of them, you're going to get those hieroglyphs down pat. Statues of Jekylls, statues of lions with rib cages and anatomically correct proportions Some of the statues of humans sitting, like me sitting here, you know, it's amazing how they would get the face absolutely perfect. And the structure, you could fillet it in Photoshop, you know, and take the left side and mirror it on the right side, and it's exactly what's there. It doesn't just work. Of course, we know that would work. But typically, if I took my face and made the left side look like the right side and showed you guys the photograph, it might take you 10 seconds, but you'd realize, I see you got that little dot there, and it's over here too. This is why this looks so strange. So in some cases, part of the statues are amazing looking, and in other circumstances, the proportions are a little wonky. We can see the evolution within hieroglyphs. As I said a long time ago, if you go back to the older, supposedly older writing, the pharaohs themselves are much darker. The ink or whatever paint they had created to create themselves was darker and darker and darker. And as you go closer and closer to our time, apparently, we have lighter and lighter skin. And what's sort of fascinating is the help is often still dark. So you'll see, like, you know, them fanning a pharaoh, holding a light bulb. Those folks remained darker. Who knows if that's even a slave situation? I mean, some of that stuff is if you're in the middle of, I don't know, 10,000 BC, and you got a job working for the pharaoh, who's obviously feeding you, clothing you, and sheltering you. It's probably not what we call slavery. You're an assistant to someone who's the most famous person in your area, the most powerful person in your area. Doesn't always have to go to Kunti Kinte, man. So let's start talking about some radical theories. Here's one that blows me away. Just to set you up in your brain, especially those OG listeners, I'm only going to say a couple sentences, so don't worry. I set off to prove that Roswell crash was fake and ended up becoming a forever believer unless someone pulls me aside from the military and explains it all to me and shows me all this stuff, and I can ask a million questions and it all makes sense. When I was a kid, especially Leonard Nimoy, I think, had his show History's Mysteries or something like that. It started in the 70s that the pyramids were built by aliens, that the Giza Plateau was a runway for spaceships, which is hilarious because, yeah, they're going to come in on wheels. It could be a landing pad, I guess, but that's, if you have a spaceship, you could probably land a lot of different places. But hey, having a nice solid platform makes sense to me. And then what's strange about it, when you hear this stuff and you're like 5 to 10 years old, unfortunately, it goes in your brain as truth. Like, I thought King Arthur really existed until I grow up. You know, I thought that when I was a kid that you could fly like Superman around the world backwards and you'd reverse time. You know, like comic books are real when you're children. And so obviously, as I got just a slightly older, the idea that these were built by aliens, started to dwindle off. And then when I bought books about it, which laid out the internal construction of how the stones were laid out, it looked very man-made. It looked brilliant, but it looked man-made. Now, I'm just going to throw you a screenwriter's fun interpretation of this information. But sometimes you got to do that. You got to throw a dart at a wall with some stuff on the wall as a target in the middle of the blackness of the room, right? You got no light. You're just going to throw it. It's like having a blindfold on. I'm convinced, for scientific reasons, that these pyramids generated power. The pyramids were the catalyst, like the first Tesla coil using Colorado Springs by Tesla to start the siphon. You know, you've got to get some push going in. I mean, we do pull out on a tube, but if you want to do it the way he did it, you push a little bit of power in, but you also have a unit that's going to pull out. It's your ground Tesla. So one's your positive circuit and one's your negative circuit going up. Because it's built on Ock Ravine, because it has a catacomb of water in the plateau, you are siphoning the Earth's plasma into this water And then you can, anywhere on the plateau, you can put a steel rod down. And they've got lead, or excuse me, they have iron from meteorites in the desert. And they can build staffs out of it, and they can put that down, and boom, you've pulled up enough power to get something to happen. And it's all DC current. So imagine you've got this dynastic era that's been put in place by our creators. This is a layer of folks between us and what you might think is the ultimate creator of, like, a god. Could be dome owners. Could be aliens. They probably look like us or some derivative thereof. But they have put the Egyptians there, or whoever these people were. Use the African people to first do it, and then maybe over time, blending in with other cultures, it siphons out to be modern Egyptology, or sorry, modern Egyptian DNA that we see today. But that generation dies off somehow, for whatever reason. But our captors come back to either, pardon the pun, recharge the area. It's died out. They build this weird stuff. They, and the thing is, like, it'd be a fun little sci-fi story to say, they built the pyramids to recharge their equipment to leave, or they built the pyramids to charge the equipment to cut stone or to do whatever they needed to do. To build another culture, or imagine just, you know, what happens when you buy a fish? Let's go to that. You buy a tank first. You buy the rocks. You buy a little scenery. You buy a pump. You buy some oxygenated thingy, right? Then you go get your fish and you put them in the tank. Once you've measured all the water, all the pH is perfect, then you put them inside. We know that man was first most densely present in the tip of Africa and South Europe. Just look at Rome being where Rome is, where Greece was, where Egypt is. Per capita of people on Earth and doing all things, both sophisticated and not sophisticated, they were in those areas. The sheer layers of civilizations that we're still discovering, and we won't even be close to discovering all these civilizations in our lifetime. That's what's nuts. We're going to die. If you live to be 100 years old, the majority of previous civilizations will be underground, undiscovered. I mean, maybe if there's a miraculous piece of equipment that's created where it can scan the bowels of Earth and give you back a full 3D picture from sonogram data that comes up, derived from echoes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, maybe. But I'm starting to think, you know, we're almost at the point of reigniting the alien theory. Now, forget, again, all the implementations that you've seen in movies, like, what is it, Stargate, and where the spaceship lands on top of the pyramids. That is probably one of the best fun stories about what those things could have been. But you find pictures online and pictures and videos where they were spaceships themselves. And the only problem with that is, obviously, these are stones that are simply laid into place. If you tried to vibrate it, move it, turn it sideways, the whole thing would fall off like someone with a plate of pasta rotating too quickly. And it all ends up on the floor, which I've done with a bunch of sauce on top on a white carpet when I was about 12. That stain stayed there forever. It just seems that these things may have been built fairly quickly, as to account for a lack of massive civilization that it would take to put them together. Because think about it. There, you know, the first theories when I was a kid, but again, it's to accentuate Moses, it's to accentuate African people bad, and everyone else in Europe is totally civilized, which is, we built Europe without slaves, and the people down south had to use slaves. They were cruel primitives, they're savages. Remember the Doctor Who show, Kinda, or James Cameron's full ripoff called Avatar? That's the game. Kinda was 1982, Avatar is 2007, exact same story. That's where Avatar came from. go watch it, and your jaw will be on the ground if you think not a hanging crystal tree forest. I mean, you'll see it. But they use all the same scenes, the same dialogue. Someone just ripped off the Doctor Who episode and converted it up without much creativity, except the CG. But if you have a bunch of people, because it's three different theories. You have a slave race that works for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years, building all these pyramids, which makes complete sense, doesn't it? 125 bent pyramids, a bunch of pyramids that just look like mountains. And then you have the beautiful ones in Giza, which has a bunch of little cousins all over the ground. Then you have someone saying, well, about late 90s, the theory started coming out that maybe they weren't slaves. Maybe they were just the people, and it was just what they did. That they weren't slaves, and that they thought, without knowing how the pyramids were built, they reduced the number of years it took to build the Giza pyramids by quite a bit, saying, hey, you could do this whole thing in 20 years. When people do the math on how many stones are in these projects, they then multiply that times how much time it would take to quarry, transport, and position the stone precisely, of course. And they multiply it times 2.3, 2.5 million just for the Great Pyramid. And then they start going, oh, yeah, it's probably going to be way more than 20 years. And it's way more years than any pharaoh that claims to have been the catalyst to the project. So you've got slaves taken forever, citizens that love it, reducing the time quite a bit without any scientific explanation of how to do that. And then you've got alien drop-off stuff. Aliens putting this thing together. And then you have, and I tried to look up Eric Dubé's former episode about the fact that he thinks these pyramids were built in the 1800s. Because I thought, oh, maybe the person who put the comment in the comment section, maybe that's a factoid that Eric put in his video, because it's been a long time since I've seen it. So I went to his channel that's online, and I surfed through, God, every video till it stopped. And there was nothing about Egypt in there. And I found the dinosaur one. I found 80% of the videos are all flat earth stuff. And so maybe he had a change of heart. Don't know. Maybe he wants to re-edit it. Maybe that's a video that got him kicked off. Maybe it was censored, you know, pulled off his playlist. Which there's videos up there that say that his playlists have been destroyed or censored and whatever. The idea that the 1800s would have been a place where these pyramids were built is negated by two major factors. There's probably thousands of factors, but at least two. One, the area by that time was extremely populated. There were dudes living there documenting it like crazy. Uncharted X cites this guy whose name's Petrie. His last name's Petrie, Dr. Petrie. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't have a tremendous amount of the knowledge we have about these areas. And his writings are now being legitimized, because what happened was he writes all this logical stuff, studying things for years. I think he spent over 20 years down there. And then the Royal Academy of Sciences, which is your revisionistic history headquarters of the world, probably was in Rome initially. Now it's in England. They poo-poo all of Petrie's stuff, for the most part. And they'll poo-poo stuff without ever going to look at the original thing that he sat on top of physically for perhaps a decade. Unreal. And then we have the rediscovery of Petrie with a bunch of people with video cameras, plenty of resources, plenty of internet communication with brilliant scientists, and who go back in and prove that Petrie was right. The fact that we have to go through this is nauseating. I hope in the next 12 months, if the world does a reset in a good way, that all these people could be labeled as heretics and the worst traitors to the human race, because that's what they are. Either that, or they're just exceptionally ignorant and we just need to put them in a padded room. The secondary thing, besides people eyewitnessing all of this creation, you got Ansel Adams running around Yosemite Park taking the most breathtaking pictures in the late 1800s. Plus, the world's busy. There's wars being fought. They're trying to conquer Africa for all of its minerals and materials and orchestrating genocides. And, you know, it's a very busy place. But how is it that somehow, okay, they were able to mine out of the ground or quarry out of the ground all of this rock with the most sophisticated stone cutting tools that we don't have today? Why would that be the case? Was it that Dean guy, I believe, if I have his name right? He's the guy that's the United States expert on stone cutting, not controlled by a queen. He's the guy that is a key instrument in recertifying Petrie's findings. But they brought him over there and they tried to drill a hole in a rock. They showed him all these statues. They showed him the pyramids. There's the Pyramid Code documentary, which is phenomenal, with a bunch of other independent scientists that are not Egyptologists looking at the pyramids. After a month of analysis, they said, man, I wouldn't want to be in this thing when it's turned on. So I would have to see some artifact that has been discovered that is ancient, and I mean ancient, that could do all this work in any of the history that we have discovered to this point, let alone the 1800s. Now imagine, let's go back to the alien theory. They show up and they have to do something. I don't want to think too small, because if they show up to planet Earth, then they most likely have a method of traveling interstellarly, or again, if we're in a Petri dish with a dome over the top, they're on the other side. They don't want to bring a bunch of things in that could be lost. They also have to be careful of building anything that defies the materials that are available here on Earth. So they would build something out of everything that we have here, perhaps using tools that don't get lost because they're too big. You know, if you brought a big giant, was a 350-ton earth mover, you're not going to lose that thing. Hey, make sure and get that thing out of here. Yeah, we're loading it up. 2 hours, we'll be out of here. All right, see you back at base. High five, boom. But it would beg the question, just like all the Star Trek episodes where they land on a planet, they bring a bunch of stuff down. It's a temporary stay. In some cases, they thought they were going to be stranded. And they start setting up shop. Still trying to hang on to the Prime Directive wherever they possibly can. It's one of these things, if you had anti-gravity capabilities and you had the ability to quickly cut rock, then you could create a scenario where these things could be put together almost with an automated drone system, you know, if you think about it. But the other thing is, the sort of counter alien theory would be that we should consider that they would be operating on a global basis, regardless of what shape you think this place is. There's pyramids in South America, China, Turkey, South Africa. They're all over the place. I don't believe there's anything in North America. Correct me if you know different. I don't believe there's anything in Russia. Correct me if you know different. Now, it doesn't mean there's not amazing structures in these places that also blow the mind to pieces. But in terms of pyramids, it seems like these are pretty well distributed around the world. However, the schematic of them is drastically different, which automatically accredits man for these things. Of course, it gets more elaborate when you come to South America. So you build them in Egypt initially, and for a while, a bent pyramid's the thing to do. Now, what I don't know about all these pyramids that are not in the Giza Plateau is whether or not any of them are on a plateau, whether or not any of them are generating electricity, whether or not the gentleman who was in the Pyramid Code, who was he's an electrical engineer. He said, okay, everything's there to make it a Wardenclyffe Tower, to create a big chunk of electricity. But what about all these other places? I don't believe he was going to the other locations. I don't believe, in my research, I've seen too many pyramids outside the Giza Plateau that have any type of plateau underneath them, but it seems like that would be necessary, such that if you built on like soil/sand, you're going to get settling. That's why we pile dry before we build skyscrapers. That's why China has big giant apartment complexes just falling over because they don't believe in science. I don't know, architecture. They're getting it down, obviously, because Hong Kong is tremendous. Built in sort of an aquatic collection of islands. They got it down now, but they had some rough roads there initially. But you go to South America and the pyramids are the discovered pyramids, okay, have these steps on them. They're very elaborate compared to the Giza ones. But when I was, like I said, one of my producers from my video game company, he flies down there all the time. He was on a big mountain looking at the official pyramids. And his guide said, you know, there's a ton of pyramids here. They just haven't told the public. And they're bigger than those down there. And my buddy goes, well, show me. And the guy said, well, you're standing on one of them right now. And he takes a look around and he goes, yeah, right. This is an extremely intelligent dude, okay? And he said, well, let me show you. And he takes him around the corner and starts showing him stones that this place is made out of. Okay. It is beyond my capacity to believe that the sheer amount of catacombs, tunnels, boxes, fluted pillars, statues of people, the official Giza pyramids, all the other pyramids could have been created extremely quickly. Meaning beyond anyone's expectations, right? 1 year or something like that. Unless someone were to come up with some crashed spaceship that was also discovered in a catacomb, you know? The other big question about sort of an alien drop-off theory, which our DNA suggests in several different levels, right, is the utter distribution of human form all around the world. Yes, there's pygmies, apparently, in pretty much every single continent. Maybe Australia doesn't have them. But we have all this, you know, gnomes. We have leprechaun theories. But the amount of art I saw in this one recent anthropological video I saw was tremendous. I mean, there's mosaics in Europe of this dwarf race fighting these birds. It's written in old tales from Greek to Roman tales. But finding over 250,000 of these graves in the United States of America alone is mind-blowing. A friend of mine was telling me, he couldn't remember the location, but apparently in South America, not too far over the border, they found a big grave of a bunch of large, giant humans. They excavated it, took it into, America or some other official location, maybe Mexico City or something. Started, you know, looking at these. Someone comes, grabs them. And then the country locked down the location, said you can't go back and find any more. Because they know they found a ton and they only took a few, they're still there. Probably being excavated and moved away to make sure whoever's running this place is trying to temper the cross-pollination between previous generations of experimentation on this planet and us. Because what would be the harm? I mean, seriously, what would be the harm in us finding a bunch of large 13-foot to 25-foot human bones? What's going to be the big deal? The religious institutions will simply say these are God's people from the past. They were taller, bigger, lived 800 years. They're not going to have a problem with it. The pygmies, the tiny ones, 18-inch tall, fully formed human. I should say that these graves that they found of all these bodies between 18 and 36 inches, their skulls were completely sealed, so they weren't children. And apparently, they were all buried with this little tiny black box that inside had a shell, and the shell was pretty much transparent with two colors. So one, the outside color was different than the inside color. and they weren't sure where this shell came from. It didn't seem to match any known shellfish that we have today. And they said that the shell was absolutely 1,000% preserved. So, you know, doctors and scientists came to these locations. One of them was a 6-acre site in Tennessee. And this guy published in his video, I'll probably do a video on this whole thing, but, you know, probably a dozen New York Times articles about this stuff. This isn't fringy stuff. But it seems like there's a force out there. It's like when you see UFO black suits show up and say, no, 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 you didn't see that. And they make you sign a, you know, a non-disclosure while you're young, full of energy, and your brain's working really great. And then once you get to 50, 60, 70, oh, now you can talk about it and no one listens to you because you're an old man. That's my gut feeling. So why would anything be left behind? That's the other big question if you talk about this resetting the earth thing, either by alien intervention, especially not God intervention. It doesn't make any sense. You might have a situation where someone says, look how beautiful this culture was. Or maybe, well, the thing is if you read hieroglyphs, there's nothing that says, you know, can't wait to get back home to my home world or get out of this dome container and go see the missus and pat the kids on the head or something. There's none of that talk. It is the talk of standard Egyptology, pharaohs and successors and murders and hunting and rituals. It's all pretty above board. I mean, that's a lot of work if it's all fake. I don't think it's fake. I think it's real. But if all this amazing construction sitting around those people, my God, I mean, we got millionaires in the United States of America that retire to a community called Santa Fe, New Mexico. And they buy a home with their money. They balance all their retirement and their payments and everything. And then they go out and paint. That's how we discovered chemtrails. They had been painting for, I don't know, 100 years in that area. If you were rich, you just set up shop there. In the late 90s, the sky turned into these dust clouds. So they wrote the Air Force and said, hey, could you let us know when you're going to pollute the sky with your planes so that we can not come on those days because you're screwing up all of our painting? And they said, we're not doing nothing. 107 says it's a defense shield against incoming ballistic missiles. Okay, buddy, whatever. Because we're just on the brink of nuclear war, right? I'm going to do a new update on the chemtrails thing coming up here. So rest assured, we won't skip over anything. The other title I thought was called The Egyptian Paradox. Maybe that's a better title. This is racking my brain. If someone hired me to write a movie that says, okay, this is, you know, we have this producer meeting and they go, okay, you know about this, right? Yeah, you know about that. Pre-dynastic boxes, yep. And you know about the dynastic era, yep. And you've read all Graham Hancock's books, listened to all of his interviews, plus everyone else that's in his camp, Brian Forrester, the Uncharted X guy, Pyramid Code people. We got all their phone numbers. You can talk to them as much as you want. But now you got to explain why there are giant pyramids everywhere and it's not just a common thing in all the hieroglyphs. I mean, it should be a ton of hieroglyphs. You have hieroglyphs where they drag stones and they're pouring water in front of a sled, but no destination of where these things are going. You have quarries where we can see very man-made, you know, scrape marks to build the obelisks. And yet somehow they get these things absolutely smoothed out once they're dug out of the earth. But we also have circular saw mistakes on boxes where they went a little too acute with their angle and they abandoned the box. And the lid still stuck to the box. They have a whole pyramid built around this precise box that Uncharted X just covered. It's just an amazing thing. And I guess we should suggest for a split second that this is kind of an absurd theory, but imagine all of this mishmash of history and time is a logic test for us. Or in a consensus reality where we're just agreeing on what is reality. And this is all fake. I mean, it's real, but it's fake. we've just imagined this place. That our power to imagine objects into existence and a paradigm that we call flesh and blood, we, our souls are imagining this together, that this is actually a dream, sort of, and we forgot to put the pyramids into the hieroglyphs. And now it's just stuck, because that's what everybody knows. But yeah, someone, that's how I'd write the movie, probably, if someone said, you got to make all this make sense.
Be like, how deep do you want to go, bro?
These structures had purpose. These structures are not tombs. They're just not. They're not made by the pharaohs that pulled out the keystone and wrote their name on it. And just remember, like, we talked about revisionistic history for a second. When I first saw, because they love to make everybody savages but us, you know, the modern people. It doesn't matter what race you are. If you're in a first world country, then you're an us. But they always want to make everyone else look stupid, primitive, evil. So if they need to wipe them out and genocide them, well, you've got 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years of thinking of these people as savages. But South America and all the human sacrifices into these fiery pits that are at the top of these step pyramids. When I finally looked up the quote-unquote evidence of this being the case, it was a European man's painting on a stone, where a guy, you know, looking like the locals, holding up a baby, and they got like little blood drops coming off of the body. Very European. Go look at art appreciation videos, would you? So you know when white men from Europe painted exactly like this. So when you see it, you're like, oh my God, there it is. Somebody got angry at me, I think, in a comment many years ago and said, I've seen all the baby skulls in some pit. Proof that that was a human sacrifice pit of fire. Well, maybe. Christopher Columbus was being chased by the queen's men for being a pedophile before he died. Okay. Well, what if they're, you should know that, a pyre? Isn't that what they call it? When you put a body on a bunch of wood and you do a Viking death, you light it on fire. Of course, they usually put it on a boat, Viking times, and send it out into the water, which is a gorgeous idea. Cremation right into the lake naturally. I think that's pretty amazing. If those skulls were truly existing all the way to the point where we can take a photograph in the 21st century or 20th century, then I think you should probably check sort of some logic there. But two, far as we know, if that's real, when a baby dies, let's just say, because it's a primitive, more time, and I mean, everywhere in the world, this kind of thing happened. Some sickness comes through, bacterial, rat-based, pluggy kind of thing comes through, or they just simply stillbirth or something. What if it's a ritual to honor the child and it's a pyre type experience at the top of the pyramid? It's like you lost your, you know, the priest comes to the family and says, you lost your baby. I know it's really tough, right? And she's just destroyed, you know, maybe. You know, we're much more emotional today, perhaps, because we put a lot more around it. But they're very spiritual people back in the days, very, even in some case, pluralistic believers. They believe there's many gods handling all the different issues. But to honor this child and take away a little bit of pain, the high priest, you know, takes it to the top in front of everybody, man. It's kind of a celebration of life, but it's also a mourn time to mourn. And that baby gets burned up right there because it's already gone, but they cremate it that way and they leave the ashes there, thinking that perhaps God makes bones stay behind for some enchanted reason. For all you know, they gave the mother a particular bone to say, this is what you keep. You put this in your home, and when you want to say hi to your child that passed, this is how you do it. You know, you put together some little thing like the Japanese do, where they have little shrines to people who have passed. I think it's absolutely gorgeous belief, man. I'm just saying, it's pretty flimsy stuff. And considering that this storyline has proliferated through time, of calling other people savages. That's what we call the Native Americans, man. Oh, they're savages. They're savages. Mm-hmm. They just didn't like us taking their land. And so they fought back. And boy, as soon as they fought back, they're savages. They were so kind to the settlers, as documented by the settlers. Indian giving, that's a white thing, not a black, not a, a Native American thing. Scalping was first done by the white man. And so the Native Americans just returned the favor, man. They said, oh, this is the way you do it, huh? It's a non-fatal way to send a message. Poof. They got better at it than the native, or sorry, than the invaders, right? But isn't it amazing that the pyramid in China, with all those amazing soldier sculptures in the basement, where every single face is different, every single person is unique. Why did I learn about that in my 30s? I mean, I know they just, gave permission to go inside, right? All right. So we didn't know what was inside. Somebody knew what was inside over there. It's not a tourist attraction. But why didn't somebody say to the rest of the world, yeah, there's pyramids everywhere? Why is that, you know? I just think it shows you that those in authority to bring you this information are not that intelligent. They just aren't. They know what they need to know based on their perceived need to analyze something, right? And so, you know, a true archaeologist, if we were to say, you were to be skilled in all things that archaeology can dig out of the ground, then a true archaeologist would have to be a paleontologist. We'll put a little tongue-in-cheek there. And they would have to be structural engineers. They'd have to be architects. As the new discoveries in Egypt, they'd have to be electrical engineers. They'd have to know everything about anthropology to truly contribute to what they're actually doing physically, digging things out of the ground carefully, gritting out a dig, photographing it, not destroying the items as they dig them out of the ground. I mean, it seems like an archaeologist is just a ditch digger for an anthropologist or all the other disciplines that might analyze what's actually coming out of the ground. But what happens in this society and has happened your entire life? The authorities that talk to you about what they find and all of the explanations of what they find are the archaeologists themselves. And then you get into all the deception. All the deception of these guys to get funds for what they do. They make up things to get funds. That's why the first two guys that invented paleontology to find these non-existent things called dinosaurs, they lied for 40 years. Came up with 136 species of dinosaurs where today only 32 of them are said to be actually in existence. And these are still the founding fathers of this science? I mean, give me a break. That's what I love about electronics. Electrical engineering. You can't lie about a lot of that stuff because, I mean, you can misconstrue what an atom is and all this other stuff, the fabric of the universe, because you simply can't sense it. You can't get anything down to that level. But if I said to you, build this circuit a particular way, and then turn it on, and it's going to do this, and you tried it at your house, well, then you should get the exact same result I'm getting. It's just math. But where you get to this blurry stuff, you know, religion is the most blurry thing on planet Earth, but you get to archaeology, and, you know, a lot of these guys are probably trying their best, to be honest, but if they need funding for something, you know, there was a Dark Five episode that was all about islands that no longer exist. And in every single case that I remember, it was an explorer that wanted to go to a particular part of the world and explore. And they would make up fake places, come back to their financiers and say, oh my God, we found all these islands. We found this whole continent, you know, that we didn't know existed. And we're going to name it after you, but I need the money to go up there and stamp the ground with your name on it. And so they transcribe it on a map. Places that don't exist, which is kind of weird because Why not just pick one that it does exist? But a lot of them already had names, you know?
There's a huge paradox in Egypt.
I find it to be the most riveting frontier, which is why I talk about it so much. I hope you guys aren't tired of listening. The one thing I would obviously love to do is get my trip back to Egypt planned and get it to execute. But I'd also like to go along with someone like the Uncharted X guy or Graham Hancock or someone with a like mind, who, or Brian Forrester or something, so that I could get one, someone knows the culture really, really well, which I studied the culture quite a bit because old story coming back. I had a travel agent putting together a trip to Egypt in August of 2001. Just about to buy tickets, man. And 9/11 happens. And I get a call from the agent going, you can't go over there right now. And then those German tourists were murdered, I think in front of the Cairo Museum, but wherever they were, they got blown away. And it was just, you know, but I studied the Nile. I studied places where you can get off the boat and other places where you're not allowed to get off the boat, or you can, but you're going to get whacked. But that's why I got to have someone with me that is going to know the locals and say, this dude's with me and all that kind of stuff. I would love to see them in my lifetime. Spend some time there and try to find out maybe some answers to these mysteries, man. I don't even know what it would cost nowadays. And the bummer about these trips is you always got to pay your bills at home. No matter if you're gone or not. Got to pay off your car, got to pay off your house, all that kind of stuff. You know, an echo of what we're saying in the modern time. And what's interesting is I told you guys I'm watching The Taxi Show. I just watched like 6 or 7 episodes last night. And at least in 2 episodes, the World Trade Centers were in one of the episodes. And some Hollywood schmuck did not go in there and erase them. I mean, that's got to be erasing those buildings out of movies and television shows should be something that just smacks the families in the face that lost their loved ones to that. And it really damages the entire historical culture of our society. If they get to all of the shows and erase those towers and then get some draconian control over the world, they simply will tell you that those things never existed. Those are just rumors. They don't exist. What I find amazing about this particular issue is that the most brilliant minds haven't talked about this. A Graham Hancock, I mean, I haven't seen every single interview he's ever put together, and I have not read all of his books, but I think I'm only missing one Egypt book that he's written. But this should be the question of all questions for that particular area of the world. Why is the past so categorically hidden from the present? My producer being told and proved all in like 10 minutes that he was standing on a giant pyramid in South America. Why wouldn't that be excavated, at least in part? You don't need to uncover the whole thing, but at least, you know, take a strip from the top to the bottom and make it 100 feet wide or something, and just strip all the dirt away, build maybe some temporary structures to keep it all back from filling in, and allow people to climb this other amazing structure. One, it's indigenous to the people, you would think, that they would want credit for having developed this technology at least some point in their history. It just keeps begging the notion, is this going to uncover a greater conspiracy of where we are and what we are? For the consensus reality application towards this whole thing, what I find most mysterious about that idea, and it kind of negates the idea, would be, how could we ever discover anything if we had to concede or be in a consensus that it existed before it could exist, right? We could, it's almost like, but we also know that creativity is probably the bedrock of this soul-based universe, right? We are creators. We have a creator that made us, and therefore we have his or her gene pool, soul pool, whatever you want to call it. So maybe as we attempt to discover things is where the imagination of either drawing from the database of the universe to say, out there somewhere, in some other physical world, whatever shape you like, these things were created by the beings on that previous civilization. So here we are, bored, let's just say, and we start digging in the ground. And we are drawing on a subconscious database of things that could be found. And so whoever is the most powerful mind in that region, or either the explorer themselves, the archaeologist, the anthropologist, whatever they are, they tend to have a very informed mind about everything we've found so far. And so a little frog DNA from the universe, and boom, we got a new discovery. It's interesting when you have a dream and you get into sort of a similar kind of discovery within a dream. You know, if you woke up and you went to a really amazing place in your dream and you saw things that didn't exist in your realm, like I've been to the future a handful of times in my dreams. It's all in my mind, of course, I think, but I've seen beautiful structures in the middle of like a pretty shallow woods, but very dense. And it was like a clearing, and there was a like a beautiful big long strip of a pagoda with crazy cool furniture that I'd never seen before. And then when I got next to the house that the pagoda was a part of, the ground had this kind of purple aluminum looking. It kind of had the petroleum thing, but not too swimmy, not too rainbowy, but it was like a purple to aluminum to like deep purple trim. But you know when you see those the pictures of how protons explode in a particle accelerator, and you see the big spins. This back patio, which was all made of steel up against a normal building, had cuts in the steel that were kind of like the path of an electron. Not quite perfect. Wasn't completely down to a fractal thing. But here comes a ship, and it lands, and its base had little protruding dowels that would plug into these openings, and then the floor started swimming, and the ship would just turn around and park itself. I mean, it was just the most amazing thing. I saw that again in a setting in a city, which was a nightclub that had the same landing mechanism. It was very cool, very interesting, right? But that was just all in my dream. So it proves that we can conceptualize things that we've never seen before. And so maybe there's a part of it that can bleed into this world. Or maybe this entire world is nothing more than a bunch of people hardening the cement of other people's creativity. Oh, what are you seeing? I mean, it was the whole thing of the shaman seeing the ship coming in from Europe. The normal people couldn't see it. The shaman could because he had a more open mind. He starts teaching them how to see it. And all of a sudden, everyone that came over, they could see him for a few miles before they arrived at the coast. That being a more real-world application of this overall theory. The proximity of the pyramids to so much of the other discovered architecture over there is where it becomes very difficult to reconcile. If the Giza Plateau was in an area and you had to travel 500 miles or so, or even 200 miles before you found the next building, the next statue, the next something or other that was not typical of the same architecture that is the pyramid, then you could simply say, well, they just didn't travel that far. They didn't need to, so they didn't. They couldn't conceive of anything being over that hill or whatever. And you could write it off that way. But the problem is it's all extremely dense. People don't build things without a purpose. They simply don't. Even if it's simply art, it has a purpose. The amount of duplicated statues over there had a purpose. Building giant pillars, there's a purpose to it. It does, for me, you see the Parthenon. You see giant pillars building a structure, and there's a nice roof over the top. when I look at the Egyptian temples and what have you,
you know, a lot of the roof part is all gone.
So it makes me wonder if that was ever to have a roof ever, you know, and you need to get up there and take a look at the stones, because if there were giant stones on top, well, one, look at Egypt. When stones fall, they just leave them where they fell, you know. So just an open air structure is probably what they were doing, because they knew how to encapsulate a building. There's plenty of buildings over there that do that. Their dwellings, their temples in many cases are there, but big palaces built for people supposedly. It's just infinitely fascinating, isn't it? But give me your information. If any of you really remember Dubé's video and maybe some points that might catalyze this conversation even further, please share those. If you know where there's a link to that video, if someone pulled it down and put it on their channel, please let me know. I know a lot of you actually do rip videos down because you know they're going to disappear when you like them. So if you still have a copy of that, let me know. You can use like some sort of file sharing service to get that to me so I can see it. I would be much obliged. And again, if any of you are typical Jainism viewers and you're up there, this is a non sequitur. If any of you ever find the video of Buzz Aldrin saying on live television, once we figure out how to go to the moon, it'll be a lot easier to get to Mars. A bunch of you seen that video, can't find it anywhere. It is embedded inside a Jainism video based on NASA stuff. And he has so many. I'm just going to have to figure out a way to watch them all to get that video scraped for our video. But once you see that, boy, it'll change your mind about reality, I'll tell you. But anyway, if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. It's got everything you need, video, audio, social media. I took Parler off. I can't believe I still had that on there. I don't edit the site that much, but we have an all-new remastered season one on a different channel. Go over and subscribe until you see what you want to see and then hop off, whatever you like. And for those of you making comments over there, there's not a lot, but I apologize. I don't go over. I forget that channel even exists. I need to go over there and comment back to you guys. I'm pretty caught up on a lot of stuff, so Facebook is pretty much a community realm. I don't get a chance to go into a bunch of that stuff. But again, if every one of you gets striked down for a fact checker, there's a trophy for you. But there's a store up there with a few items. There's a Deep Thoughts University apparel out there. And there is a couple ways to donate to the channel. For all the Patreons, thank you so much. You make it happen. Anyway, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.